Tonight, actually, we're going to sort of continue the theme that we were thinking about this morning. There is so much truth in the Bible, and truth is just something that every Christian should have a passion for, that they want the truth, they want to be living in the truth, they want the truth all around them. And times are changing. They've been changing in the 77 years since I've been born. I have seen a lot of changes, not nearly what some of you who may be older than I am, but there's been an awful lot of changes. For one thing, you know, a lot of people, when they were in high school, did not like history. History was a dry subject. It was all about, you know, dry bones and dates and names, and we didn't appreciate it because it was taught wrong. It wasn't taught to be relevant to our lives at the time, and so we didn't like it. The more I become a part, and I talked a little bit about this morning, the more I become more a part of history by having more birthdays, the more I desire to understand history and to know history. And it did not used to be a pleasure for me to sit down with a book of history and read it. Now I really enjoy that. And I don't know if it has anything to do with my getting older or having more birthdays, but anyway, I really enjoy history. If we, someone said, and I think it was Solomon, said that there's nothing new under the sun. And the fact of the matter is there isn't. But someone else has said that if we don't learn from history, that we are destined to repeat the mistakes others have made. So, like I said, there's been a lot of change since I was born 77 years ago. Our society has changed. It's changed its philosophy. It's changed the direction that it was going in. It's abandoned, basically, the truth of God. Most of it has. It's abandoned morality in general. More couples. And I read this statistic. I couldn't believe it. I looked at it. More couples are living together without wedlock than are getting married every year now. That's a sad commentary on our society. And yet it's going on. And one of the things that our modern society has forgotten is they've forgotten the previous history of how we got here and why we're here. Present day society, for the most part, lives in a fuzzy, make-believe world. And they have rewritten history so that they are comfortable with it. And the strangest part of this is that they believe what they've rewritten. At least they claim to. So much truth has been traded for lies, so that the person who lives in the truth of history is like an alien from another world. Many people just don't realize that they're not headed for success, but for abysmal failure, because they have not learned from history. And they have not stayed in the Word of God so that they could learn the truth of God. And God has taught us a lot of truth. The Old Testament, we think of it as history, yet there's a lot of teaching there. There's a lot of doctrine there. And we're going to look at a portion of it in a little bit later tonight. But we need to concentrate on what God has told us in the way of truth. So as we begin this message tonight, let's ask the Lord to help us to understand what we can learn from His word for tonight that we can use. Pastor Felber was he was teaching Sunday school this morning. I was having all kinds of thoughts that I wanted to share. It's that way when someone else is teaching, and you have thought about the subject and you've studied it, and I just one of the things that we must do as a church is we must make application of God's word. Okay, we need to apply it in our lives. And one of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do is begin, and some of us it'll be difficult, begin rememorizing Scripture. Now, it gets a lot harder the more birthdays you have, but it can still be done. It just takes more effort. And Pastor Felber was talking this morning about Jude and the warnings that Jude has given us. And I was thinking, when he was talking about the Sunday school lesson that we're going to be having in Philippians, I was thinking, every time that I have sat down to memorize Scripture, somewhere in that week, I have a chance to use it in sharing it with someone. And that doesn't happen by accident. There's a person, God's Holy Spirit, who guides us and directs us and then uses us if we will let Him. But we have to put forth the effort to begin memorizing and hiding His word in our heart. So let's ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll get into tonight's message. Father, You are able to move the hearts of kings as You move rivers. And Father, we know that You are able to move our hearts if we will permit You to. And Father, I believe that it is the desire of everyone here tonight that You might move our hearts, to have us in the place that You would want us in this week to come, that we might be a tool in Your hand to accomplish Your purpose, and Father, to share the light of Your glorious gospel with those around us. Thank You, Father, for giving us the privilege to be a tool in Your hand. Help us now to be a sharp tool, to be a useful tool. And Father, we will praise You for what You do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there is a particular segment that is attempting to, a segment actually of our government that's attempting to take over the education of our children. It started some time back, and it is progressing more and more. And they have deliberately altered history so that the kids growing up today don't know what went on before. They don't realize that what we have in this nation is a godly heritage. It is a heritage that was bought with shed blood. And it wasn't just the shed blood of our people, it was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why people came here originally. They've either rewritten history or they've abandoned history altogether. It's up to we who know the truth to lead the people back to where they should be. And in order to do that, we're going to have to proclaim the truth in such a way that they can see and understand where we have gone wrong. God has given us a solution to the problem of in His Word. There's no problem in it. God has given us a solution to the problem by giving us His Word. But unless we, you and me, exercise the solution, all may be lost. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we all know the verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Someone may say, but Pastor, we live in a great land. We're rich. We have everything we need. And our reply should be, not according to what God says. We don't have everything we need. Truth used to be the expected medium. But today, like I said this morning, people tell you what they think you want to hear. Or they tell you what they think they can get away with. Now, that used to make me angry. And you might say, well, why did you get angry? Because before I was saved, I was a horrible liar. I was. But when God saved me, just as when He saved you, He took away these things. He took them out of our lives. And now we cannot stand when someone lies to us. Why did I lie? Because I thought I was smarter than the person I was talking to. And they're lying to us because they think we're smart. They're smarter than we are. Now, I used to get angry when I would think that because they would think I was stupid. And then I looked in the mirror one day and found I was. But God took that away. And He expects us as Christians to stand for the truth. My vocabulary has not kept up with present-day terminology. I mentioned that again this morning. I remember several years ago when a certain segment of our society, they said, came out of the closet. And I'm sorry that they did. Because today they are demanding not equality, they're demanding superiority. They are holding parades in prominent cities, even our nation's capital. And people line the streets to watch them. That's the sad part of it. God had something to say about that to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3. Verses 8 and 9. Remember, we started talking about history. This is a history of Israel. And I want you to see what God told Israel, because what He told Israel, the same message can apply to us today. Isaiah 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of His glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. God does not lie. And if he says that they have rewarded evil unto themselves, they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Let me give you an example. AIDS. It's rampant throughout the world. People have quit talking about it. It is so common. There are places where even families are becoming infected by people with the wrong lifestyle. My wife and I know a missionary family who were serving in a land where their AIDS was prominent, and they contracted it from the population. Just contact. They'll tell you, you don't need to worry about that kind of a thing. But that's wrong. This family contracted it. It spread throughout the family. And eventually they had to leave the field and go into full-time treatment. In some African nations, entire villages are wiped out by AIDS. Thousands of Americans are being treated by medical personnel, and some of them are intentionally infecting others. You may remember some of the litigation that took place. This kind of lifestyle brought Israel to ruin. This kind of lifestyle brought Rome to ruin. And this kind of a lifestyle will bring the United States to ruin if God does not intervene. Business, corporations, institutions, schools, even churches are being forced to hire people who live that kind of a lifestyle. People, we had better get on our knees and in our pulpits. It was the pulpit that led this nation in history. Why are we in this situation? Let's look back at history and see. Before the revolution in the 1700s, who was leading and affecting the formation of our early society? It was the pulpits of America. It was the leaders in the church. They were helping to guide this nation when it was a fledgling nation. They were proclaiming the truth of God's word, and men and women were responding to the admonitions of Scripture. There was justice based on truth, based on the principles found in God's word. We were a nation of truth. When the War of Independence came, it was preachers who led the militias. In fact, the British called the preachers the Black Robed Regiment. Are you familiar with that organization? Under David Living? David, yes. Men like Reverend John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, who raised the 8th Virginia Regiment from the men of his church, who then fought to liberate this nation from the King of England. And after the war, he helped frame the Bill of Rights. Preachers and churches were providing the leadership. What has happened? Many of the early fathers had one goal: to establish the Bible as the sole authority over the proper conduct of men. That's been lost. Somewhere along the way, the goal was abandoned, and then it was forgotten. Today, we have to fight to return the principles taught by that book to serve as a foundation upon which we will build the truth in our society as Israel did when Nehemiah and Ezra led them to return to their land. Turn, if you will, to Nehemiah 4. There's a principle here, and there's some information here. Nehemiah 4. And in Nehemiah 4, it's talking about Nehemiah. Ezra preceded him, but it's talking about Nehemiah going back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. And beginning in verse 12, we read, "And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you." They were saying, "You can't do this. You'll never be able to accomplish this." Verse 13. "Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, unto the wall, every one unto the work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought on the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields, and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded every one, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me." What was one of the qualities that Nehemiah exhibited to the people that he led? He exhibited determination. Determination. He was determined to finish the job that God had given him, that God had called him to. And as a people, we need to return to what made this country and our nation great. We need to return to the principles that are in the Bible and follow only those who obey those principles. It is our fault as citizens for the people we have in Washington, because you and I voted them into office, sometimes not knowing who they were or what they were. We need to go back to being prudent about whom we elect, what their principles are. Are they in league with the Bible? Are they in line with the Bible? Or are they against the principles found in the Word of God? And we need to support them. We need to support them in our prayers. We need to support them even financially, or they're not going to be able to get to a place where they can help us and go to bat for us. It means we're going to have to get involved. I remember Connie and I went to Florence on Friday to see our grandson, who is working in Washington, D.C. He was down visiting his father. And as we drove up the road, twice I saw cars sitting on the side with a four-way on and people in the car. I used to always stop. But I can't do that anymore. Because so many times it's a ploy to take advantage of you. So every time I go by one now, I pray, Lord, send somebody. And the thought crossed my mind, well, I sent you. Have to think about that. God is going to use us if we will let him. We're going to have to memorize Scripture. Scripture is going to have to become our weapon against the corruption. And the corruption is the cancer that is eating away at our society. It's eating away at the fabric of our society. And the Word of God is more powerful than an atom bomb. God's Word is going to have to be our weapon. We are going to have to believe it. We are going to have to practice it. We are going to have to obey it. And we are going to have to trust, as Brother Felber said this morning, in the power of God to achieve what his word promotes. Scripture asks, is anything too hard for God? And of course the answer is no. We're going to have to make this more a part of our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the weapon that Jesus is going to use at the end of the tribulation when he comes back to get rid of the Antichrist and all of his armies. In Revelation 19, verses 13 through 15, it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is the one we see coming on the white horse with all his army on white horses behind him. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I mentioned the wrath of Almighty God this morning in the message. I see it approaching. If we look at history, God's wrath took out the nations that were doing some of the things that this nation is beginning to do. People, we really need to be on our knees. The Word of God is the lost power of God in our society. When they took out God, when they took out the Bible, they took out the power of God operating. It's somehow gotten lost when we became too affluent to have time for God. God has made some statements about his word that we must not lose sight of. Isaiah 55:9-11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. People, this has got to be our weapon. This has got to be what our confidence in, our faith is in, is the Word of God and the principles that we find in this Word of God. God is the power behind His Word. We must never lose sight of that. God is the power behind His Word. If we use our own wisdom and words, we can expect to accomplish almost nothing. But when we use the Word of God properly, when we can bathe that Word in prayer, the power of God will do the work that only it can. And the hearts will be moved and perhaps changed so that men once again turn to God in faith and accept His will in their lives. Do you have any idea why I believe so strongly in the Word? Because the Word of God touched my life. It was God's Word that worked in my heart to save me. And it was God's Word that worked in your hearts to save you. Why would we doubt it? Why would we doubt the power of God? My life is completely different. So is yours. If God's Word is worked in your heart. I've not seen anything like the power of God in anything but His Word. I've not seen anything work like the Word of God. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. That's how we're going to see others get saved. It's with God's Word. Most of our laws came from the Word of God. That's why I'm so excited about our new sign on the road. Just think of displaying the Word of God. 24/7. Verses out of God's Word. Verses out of the Proverbs. Verses out of the Psalms. Verses out of Roman roads, Jerusalem roads. Displaying God's Word 24/7. Now, what they have told me is that we have approximately 40,000 cars pass the church in the morning, people going to work, and 40,000 cars at night. Now, if one person occupies a car, some of the cars have got more than one where they can actually read the sign as they go by. But if we get one person out of 20 read a verse of Scripture on that sign, that's 40,000 cars this way, 40,000 cars that way. One out of 20. Do you realize that we will be impacting over 10,000 lives a day with the Word of God. We will be sowing the Word of God through the eye gate into their minds. Over 10,000 a day. Man, what an impact. There's not 100 of us here tonight. I think there's 23. We couldn't get 10,000 people in this church. And yet, we, and when I say we, I'm talking about you and I, can impact 10,000 lives a day. because we're willing to make it possible to display God's word out front where people can see it. You begin to see why I got so excited about this project. As God is providing for it, as we are watching Him provide for it, this is going to have an impact on North Charleston. This is going to have an impact on Charleston. It's going to have an impact on Somerville. It's going to have an impact on everyone. Not everyone, but those who pass this church. We're not going to use guns or swords as Nehemiah had to win our battle. Folks, we are going to use the Word of God. When you write your legislators, when you write your politicians, when you express your opinion, express it with Scripture. Connie and I were sort of, I don't know what the word would be, we were dismayed about what was going on up in Washington, D.C. We were dismayed about what chance we might have to influence two people, one person, anything that was going on, till we got up there. And while we were there, we found that there were over 125 born-again people in the legislature. People, we've got people on our sides up there. Now, they're vastly outnumbered, and they're not the ones who are making all the noise. But there, we have brothers and sisters there. Don't hesitate to communicate with them. We have state representatives here, some of whom know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And people, we need to unite and get behind them, to support them with the Word of God. Most of them already have it in their heart. I say most of them, those who know Jesus have it in their hearts. And we need to become more active than we have been. So as we think about history, it was the people. It was the pulpits of America that led the people to be what this nation originally was. A nation that held God in reverence. They held the fear of God. And they held God's word in respect. So let's start working at accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. Let's start by memorizing Scripture and then using that Scripture in our life during the week. And see if God doesn't begin to bless you in a special way as you see other people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. John R. Rice told a story, and I'm going to close with this. John R. Rice told a story in his book, Personal Soul Winning. I don't know if you had to read that, or it'd be Jay, about a seamstress in Dallas, a humble woman, a somewhat poor woman, a woman with very little education. And on a New Year's Eve, folks were coming up to the altar and making vows to the Lord for the next year, then returning to their seats. And the following New Year's, a year later, some of them were sharing with the church how God had helped them to accomplish their vows. And this seamstress began to weep. And Brother Rice asked her, "What's wrong, sister?" She said, "I didn't keep my vow. I made a vow unto the Lord that I would witness and lead one person a day to the Lord throughout the year. And I've only led 287 souls to the Lord this past year." How many souls have we led to the Lord this year? How many have we attempted to? Now, we can't save them. The Holy Spirit has to do that work. But he can use us as an instrument to make them aware of the love of God and what God has done for them and for us. We need to think about where we are, what we're doing. We need to rededicate our lives to a loving God, to a Savior who is willing to sacrifice his life and his blood for you and I. May this coming year be different. May we be different. May God use us to win the battle that needs to be won. Let's pray. Father,